Time to head to the ice and talk with Fargo Forest head coach Brett Skinner. Coach, you guys 2-2-1 through the first five games of the year. I'm really curious as to your thoughts on last weekend's game against Sioux City, a tough, gutsy performance. You guys fall in a shootout. What do you think that this more inexperienced team learned from a tight game like that at home early on in the season?
Tough to say that there was a lot of progress and positivity there in any game that has an L attached to it, but there really was. I think especially our possession time and a lot of our offensive game showed a lot of growth. The final piece of getting that puck in the back of the net is still a process for us, but especially against a team that's older, experienced, bigger, heavier, I thought when you look into the numbers, our ability to hold onto the puck and generate chances was certainly a sign of some positive things to come.
On top of that, I'm trying to find a good way to word this, because you have some really good defensemen that have come up this year with Larilla and Prusak, guys like that, but with only bringing back a couple of defensemen from last year's squad, when you look at Revenig and you have Finn McLaughlin as well, has that been a bit of a growing pattern, knowing that you have a new goaltender and, I mean, for the most part, two out of your three pairings are new guys in the program this year?
Yeah, I think, there's challenges, especially with defensemen. They generally take a little bit longer to develop. I think last year we maybe talent-wise weren't as high-end, but they were older, more experienced. One of the kids I had coached previously and the guys that we had returning anyways, Ollie and I, had similar kind of ideas on how the game's played. So there was some crossover there as far as the guys that were coming back from the year before. I think this year we're younger, but we're certainly talented. I like our decor. I think they move well. We have good size. It's just, getting them up and running here. I think it'll be interesting to kind of track during the season. I think their potential is, there's a ton to like there. Obviously, the quicker we can get them up and running, the better. But in a short time here, I think just even from 2 weeks ago to last week and then watching our practice this week, they're really developing rapidly here. So it's a fun decor to watch. Obviously, a little bit younger, but a lot of talent to work with there.
And last season, we talked a little bit about the analytical portion of hockey. I'm kind of curious about, with only being five games into a 60-game regular season, at what point do you start becoming maybe a little bit more comfortable with looking at those numbers, looking at those analytics, and finding those little niches to try and improve the team just one more percent moving forward? Is it as early as five games into the year, or do you really have to wait until a month and a half into the season when you get a sample size of a dozen or more games?
Yeah, I think, there's different analytics you can look at after every game that are going to give you an indication of how that game went. And then, generally for me, I'll break this season into six game segments. So it's, we play 62 games. So it's 10 segments plus the two bonus games. So we're just about done the first segment, honestly, through the first five games. It's not so dissimilar from last year as far as our analytics. Five games in, we're possessing the puck. We have the puck more than the other team. We're generating a lot off of turnovers, meaning our forecheck is good, and then we're able to establish puck possession off of the forecheck. It's just kind of that finishing piece that you'd see with maybe an inexperienced group, or obviously last year we had a ton of talent up front. Not that this team isn't talented, but maybe just a little bit older guys that were ready to go right out of the gate. So I think there's not, a panic button anyways in the numbers, just kind of that trust the process. We got to keep building. The numbers are showing that we're trending in the right direction. So we just got to keep adding and building and working hard every day. And I think good things will be in the future.
Coach, I always like to touch on special teams with you guys when I get a chance to, and obviously to start the season, PK percentage way up to one of the top teams in the league. Power play percentage actually pretty good, sitting at six in the league so far. What have you liked about your special team so far this season?
Yeah, I think for where we lack experience, I think some of our penalty killers are actually guys, it probably speaks to our offensive game a little bit. The guys that we do return were more penalty kill type guys last year. And then some guys that we've been able to add, again, are more on the defensive side of the puck, which has, been a strength for us in the PK. I think also, I really preach trying to be disciplined and not taking useless penalties. It puts a lot of stress on your PK. That's something that's carried over from last year. Obviously, I think we learned a lot going through last year as far as what systems we like and how to execute that, and that maybe has translated a little bit to this year too. And we have Jimmy Spratt, Jackson Keane have been carrying the workload on the PK and doing a really good job. And I do think it speaks to our D-Core with their talent level and their big mobile kids, that have fit in really well with their systems. And then on the power play, I mean, it's kind of odd to say after coming off last year. I think we were in the 30s for most of the year, but I think we're 24%, which historically is, as far as back in my days, that was a pretty good power play. But, it's early in the season. I think there's a lot of growth left there, compared to last year where, we kind of plug guys into spots and there's a little bit of shifting around as the season went on, maybe a little bit more late in the year, but we probably rode the, 2 5-man units for several months of the season, where this year it's, we're looking at how guys move in certain spots and how they can handle different situations. And I think there's a little bit more of a development path where, there might be ups and downs, but do we believe in a kid long-term and we're going to put him in a spot and maybe kind of, we're going to have to take some lumps early for the payout late. So there's some decisions there with the power play, but overall we are getting the puck in the net. Again, 24% is, back in my day, that would have been considered a good power play, but, obviously coming off of last year when you're used to cruising in the 30s, doesn't feel quite as good, but, obviously overall real happy with the special teams.
When it comes to this team, Coach, when we look at the defensive pairings, we look at the forward lines. For the most part, last year, you kind of had some guys in some specific roles, say a Max Swanson on that first line. Reed Davitella might have been a second or third line or fourth liner, depending on kind of how the play goes. Is it still, or since we're early on in the season, there's still some kind of tweaking as finding out which are the best combinations together? I mean, I'm sure that leads into your analytics answer from before, but is it one of those things where you have to look at who plays well together and kind of what skill sets they bring? And is that something that you still got to kind of keep tweaking as the season goes along?
Yeah, definitely. I think the analytics do play a piece in that. I think that especially at the junior level, you do see this a lot in the NHL now too, but I think a lot of coaches say, hey, it doesn't matter what line you're on, but I actually, I think I really believe that, but I also have proven that that's true with the way that I coach. I look at last game, the line that was listed as our fourth line on the line chart actually generated the most scoring chances. Someone's got to be first, second, third, fourth on the line chart. But for me, you're watching the game, your eyes are open as far as who's going and who's going to get on the ice. But at the same time, I look at our quote unquote fourth line last year with Tom Leppa, Eero Hakkarainen and Reed Davitella. I think if you pulled the league as far as what was one of the hardest lines to play against, you they would have been up there as a fourth line for us, because they were really good defensively, but also they, the three of them put together really good offensive years too, and that's a fourth line. So that's without even kind of looking up the lineup for us. And I think Swanee and Zam and those guys got enough recognition last year, but the depth through our lineup was really something that was important to us, and it's the same this year. I don't think talent-wise or experience-wise we're as high-end, but there is a really good depth to our lineup. So, I think that will be ultimately the strength of our team, that, maybe it's not all four lines going at the exact same time, but I think that, if it's three lines one night, hopefully that one line can get it going the next night and pick some guys up, and that's kind of how you win in this league. So I do think the depth of our lineup, the overall balance of our lineup is strong.
Coach, when it comes to the makeup of this team this year, it seemed as though there were some fans in the Fargo Forest fans group that noticed that this season I kind of maybe more specifically, the fact that it looks as though when you guys went through the phase one and phase two drafts, it looked like you guys added kind of some more size in that defenseman group. So was there kind of an emphasis, maybe not so much on just overall size? You want to obviously have the skill to go with it, but was there a little bit more of a thought process into trying to get some bigger defensemen? Because we've got some very big guys, a couple 6'4s, a 6'5 guy. So it seems like we got a bigger defensive group than we had previously.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky balance at this age, too. I kind of alluded to how it's tougher to develop D. It takes longer. You know, you sometimes at this age, you can get the kid who's 6'4", 6'5", and, you know, boy, that kid's going to play in the NHL for sure, but he's still kind of gangly. I think that we're lucky in the fact that we have some bigger guys, but they're all mobile. They can all skate. They all have offensive instincts. They're not, you know, for me, it's kind of a pet peeve if you get in the offensive zone and you got a big guy who's really good defensively, but you got to play 4-on-5 all of a sudden in the offensive zone because he can't pick up a pass. I think all our guys have good puck skills and they're good players. I think you're always kind of riding that line of you want bigger, stronger, heavier guys, but you don't want to be deficient in your puck skills. And, you know, you can't have 6 second-round NHL draft picks. But, you know, we did, you know, we got Finn McLaughlin last year and we invested a lot in him to trade for him and knew that the payoff would probably be a little bit more this year, but he did add tremendous depth last year at the end of the year. And then we did invest a lot in Sam Lorilla, who's a really talented player coming out of NTDP, and they're both big boys that move well and they have good offensive instincts. So that's probably a little bit of the backbone of the team. And then, you know, you had Matt Leahy in there, who's all of 6'5.5", and but he can skate and move, and he can handle pucks for that size already. So it's pretty impressive to watch, you know. And then you round it out with you know, a real solid group, other than the Prushek kid and Eddie, maybe, who are 5'11", but they move really well. Mm-hmm. They're both competitive. Prushek actually might be our most competitive D man as far as his temperament, anyways. So, yeah, funny how that works out. Yeah. But no, we're happy overall with the D group, and you always want to be as big, strong, fast at everything you can be. And but you know, sometimes you got to balance out the other parts of the game. So we were pretty lucky to have the D that we did.
Coach, when it comes to talk about defensemen, over the last couple of years, you've had a Joe Palatichuk who was here before you got here. Last year, there was Leo Gruba, some super talented defensemen that obviously, like you said, can handle the puck. They can be a threat scoring offensively. I wasn't able to attend the game on Saturday because we went down to Winona, Minnesota for a football game. But I saw the highlight of the Finn McLaughlin shootout goal, and it sort of looks like Finn is continuing at least what has now been the third year in a row that you've got a very talented defenseman that can handle the puck. Because I tell you what, that that shootout goal was really impressive. And is that something that, I mean, shootout goals, is that something that just completely everybody on a team works on, or do the forwards work on that a bit more than the defensemen?
You know, I was a defenseman and I shot in shootouts. I don't know if that maybe helps the D a little bit more where I'm not biased just to forwards. We do shootouts the day before. So this week we play Thursday. We'll do it today at the end of practice. And I tell the guys, I'm like, you know, I'm always watching and, you know, you're kind of looking at their puck skills. I think the shootout is kind of its own deal too. And I think practice to games are different where, you know, you realistically only need one move. There could be the guy who's really shifty and maybe crafty with the puck. I certainly played with a lot of really talented forwards and they didn't really like going in the shootout. And then there was another guy. I remember when I played in the Czech Republic, I had a guy, he barely played in the third period. And then all of a sudden it'd be a tie game going through overtime and he'd stand up and he'd start stretching and taping his elbow pads down. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I shoot in the shootouts. And he scored every time. It was unbelievable. The rules are a little different over there. So after three shooters, you can go back to a guy and they would just keep going back to him. And he scored like 5 different ways. And so there's guys that are just good at it. And Finn had had a couple good weeks in a row in our practice shootouts. And for me, it's a little bit of like the personality thing, or the fans are watching. Realistically, like if you go in a shootout, you only have like a 30% chance of scoring. It's not a super high rate of scoring. So with the kids, you can't say, well, he didn't score, he's never shooting again. You have to make sure that you're giving yourself a chance. Last year we were extremely lucky. We didn't have a lot of shootouts, luckily, but we had Zam Swanee and Gavin Morrissey, mm-hmm. and you'd think about our talent level, where even Morrissey wasn't one of our leading scorers. He was just really good in shootouts. And then if you had to get to a fourth, you had Jake Fisher, you know, mm-hmm. and then you didn't even get to Michael Estarza, who had history of shooting in the league. So this year, I think we've had a couple early in the year, a couple opportunities, including preseason, where the kids have that moment and you're sorting through who's going to be able to step up. Obviously, to watch Finn, it wasn't probably surprising to me because I'd seen him do it in practice. So I was a little bit surprised at the amount of stick twirls he had when he was doing it and the kind of energy that he brought, but I liked it. Mm-hmm. Would have been a little bit better if it was the winner, but yeah. At the same time, we saw Sam Lorillo score in preseason in a shootout, so I have no problem putting a D in there. I just, the expectation isn't, hey, these kids got to score. It's a unsuccessful opportunity. It's just, you're when they put it in, obviously it's nice to get.
Well, I'll just double check with Finn next time I have a chance to talk to him and see if he's been watching old Brett Skinner shootout videos to up his skill level.
Similar move.
Yeah.
Similar move to what I used to do. There he might have been. I don't know if YouTube even existed when I played. So maybe pull out a VHS.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, hey, Coach, in closing today, I'm kind of curious. With this weekend, it's a little bit different, right? You have a Thursday-Friday instead of a Friday-Saturday weekend. And additionally, you played two different opponents. I would imagine that you probably take it a day at a time. But how do you prepare for really what is one less day of preparation for a weekend series paired with the fact that you played two different teams on Thursday and Friday this week?
Yeah, challenging week. Where you got to make sure you're focused on your rest and recovery earlier in the week from a really hard game Saturday night. Luckily, we only had the one game last weekend, so it's not as taxing. We're still in that part of the season where we're really more so focused on ourselves, and there's nothing that anyone's going to throw at us that is going to throw us off that much. Maybe a little bit extra video. Actually, there's definitely a little extra video as far as preparation, because it's not only two different teams, but it's two different teams from the East. So, if you threw Sioux City and Sioux Falls at us, where, you at least get to watch them in the preseason and you're more familiar with them, historically, it might be a little easier, but, for us, they got to travel, they got to get out here. It's still a shorter week for them getting out here as well. And then, Cedar Rapids will be rested Friday, but we'll be ready for them. So I think Thursday night they got $2 beer night for the college students, which is always a fun night. And they kind of get the house rocking, and the kids will be ready for that. And then Friday night Cedar Rapids is a tough, hard team that always plays hard, so expect a good game that night too. So it should be a fun weekend.